Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And in that name we give you all the praise. And Lord, how rich, 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 rich we are because of you. And Lord, the confidence and trust that our precious sister worshiped you in. Worship. The worship of song, God. Lord, thank you that we do. We worship you. We adore you. We magnify you. You alone are worthy to be praised. Thank you for that grace, God, that you've given, that, Lord, it pours forth. Lord, there isn't anything truly that feels any better than to praise the Lord. Oh God, thank you for these bodies, these vessels, Lord Jesus, that truly you've caused us by your mercy to be vessels to the praise and glory of your grace. Here we are today, looking only to you. God, just knowing that you have to even open our hearts. Lord, as you feed the bird, God, you're going to feed us today. And Lord, thank you for the feast that you prepare. It's always the finest because you have only the best in mind for us. And Lord, thank you again for that love in ages past, that love wherewith we are loved. Help us to grow in the knowledge of it a little bit more this morning. And Lord, even so, come. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 44, thinking how perfect God is. He's got a message, and it's already begun today. All throughout this precious time, we've been together in Jesus' name, preparing us this morning to receive more and more of His desire for us. But in Psalm 44, verse 1, it says, "We have heard with our ears, O God." And yes, we have, haven't we? "Our fathers have told us." Oh, and yes, they have, haven't they? "What work thou didst in their days, in the time of old." And I thank God for that witness. I thank the Lord. It's all here. Praise God. We have such a great cloud of witness. But oh my, and yet here we are in a time that even without us, they cannot be made perfect. And we have even a better thing. Praise God. "But how they didst drive out," excuse me, "how thou didst drive out the heathens with thy hand." He did it all. "And plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them." Now, brothers and sisters, praise be to God how He has been witnessing this incredible mercy that He loves, the riches of His glory that He bestows on the vessels of His mercy. And here we are, praise the Lord, I believe in fullness of thanksgiving to God that we come to Him truly in absolute humility. Lord God, you have given us all grace. And do we really receive this precious encouragement that we have here in these three verses? Complete reliance, complete confidence, as sister sang, complete trust. Praise the Lord. And we must have that in Christ if we are to possess our inheritance. That's the only way that you'll receive it. I thank the Lord for that. It was so evident, was it not? All of those millions came out of Egypt. Millions. They saw all of the miracles. They rejoiced as they came out for a moment. But then they murmured over and over and over. Somehow questioning God. Questioning God, always looking at the acts of God. Instead of settling into the faithfulness of God. And that's forever. They thought time and time again, we'll take it on our time. we'll go in when we think it's right. Once again, back to their might. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All of those millions that came out of there, except for two, didn't go in. Those two knew from the very beginning, God gave it to us. It's ours. We're not going out there to walk around it. We're going out there to take it. And if you really understand this and know this, when they came out of there, those two wanted to go in immediately. They did not want to wait. This wasn't a 40-year thing that they wanted to do. They knew God had given it to them now. And I thank the Lord. That's the faith and the passion that those that will win God's best, that crown, be the bride by God's grace for him. That you're expecting it because of his strength, his mercy, and his grace. That, Lord, I have the crown now. I'm not hoping for it for a certain time. By the grace of God, I have it now. I'm trusting you by the grace of God, Lord, in your strength to have me to hold this, to give me the strength to always look to your word, that, as you said, it was because of my countenance upon them, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Let me tell you something. God has a favor to you. Matter of fact, it's a highly favored favor. He can't help himself. He can't deny himself. Matter of fact, as we will rejoice more and more all the time as we come together, you are standing before him in Christ in love before the world began. That's the word. That's the scriptures. By the grace of God, he saw this for him. The Father saw this for his Son. Son, it's not good that man is going to live alone, and you're not. You, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, it's a finished work, praise God, Son. And you will have your bride. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what's so beautiful. God never changes because his grace never changes. His choice is always mercy. Whether, as we read here, his choice is always mercy, whether it was Israel for this land. People are so consumed with this country and this country and this people at this time. Let me tell you something. It's Israel. You want me to tell you the end of the story for the earth? It's Israel. It's just going to be. Because that's God's choice. That's God's mercy. His choice is always mercy, whether it was Israel for the land or whether by the grace of God it's you for the bride. And that's the truth. He didn't bring you out here. He didn't bring you into this, to hear this, to just let it go to the wayside. Oh, no. No. We rejoiced on Wednesday night. As Paul told Timothy, he said, commit these things to faithful men. This gospel that I have been given, this wonderful truth of the bride for the Lamb, this bridal message, you commit it to the faithful. He didn't say, you go out there and preach it to every creature. He didn't say that to him. He says, you commit this to faithful men, faithful ones that are going to hear this. And it's not to shine anybody. It's the capacity to say, you know what? If the Lord said it, if the word of God says it, it's so. I want that. I don't want anything else but all of what the Lord has for me. I don't come into the wonderful palace. I don't come into this wonderful feast that spread and just sit here and say, well, you know what? I'll take a celery stick. God put it all out there. I've got strong meat. I've got the finest meat. Go in there and take it. Go in there and get it. Don't try to act polite. Don't try to act humble. He gave it to you. You go in and you possess it. You take it. You understand all about it. You describe it back to him. Oh, Lord, this is what you've given me. I tell him about my crown all the time because he gave it to me. He put it in my hand. He said, I loved you so much, I want you to reign with me, honey. I want you to rule with me, honey. You're going to be glorified together with me. I believe him. He has said that to us time and time and time again. And how did it start? How did it begin? Because he chose us. He chose us. And he chose us in his son because he loves us. And it never changes. It's not in numbers. It's not in strength. It's not in works. He chose you because he loved you. And that's all this wondrous thing is a love thing. And I'll tell you what, anybody who's ever been in love, you can't help it. You can't explain it. And as we'll get to it, it's not even a choice. Love is not a choice. I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you what, when it gets you, it's over. I've told you time and time again, I get these couples come in here, sometimes young, sometimes older too. No clue. We're going to live on love. Well, I'll tell you what, you should and you best. You ever thought about a job, a work? How are you going to do these things? You know, putting these things together. But I'll tell you what, it better be the intent of love. You didn't get together to have a big home. You didn't get together that we bring our finance together to make it cheaper to live. No, I've heard a lot of different crazy stuff. That don't work. You marry because you love. And I'll tell you one thing about Jesus. He's going to marry because of love. That's it. You don't work yourself into the bride. No true marriage that was truly in love, neither party worked in to be the spouse. They didn't. They didn't, you know, look at somebody and say, okay, well, I'm just going to go work into you. I'm going to make you love me. I've seen people do it. Don't work. I'm here today thanking the Lord with you about that. And I have a special joy. And I will not mention names, but I feel at liberty to encourage you in how I was encouraged last week. Always, but in a very precious way. A sweet sister encouraged my heart after last Sunday's sermon. And she fellowshipped in that trap that I had been in, that each and every one of us, I'm sure, has been in. Somehow when this precious message so engulfs us in this truth, there is a good fight of faith. And oftentimes each and every one of us find ourselves, and I'm praying that we're going to get out of that and move on, but yet it's always a battle. But yet she said, I was right there with you, Pastor, and something needed to change about her and to be acceptable and to attain to be the bride for the Lamb. And, you know, the enemy wants nothing more than to keep us in that state of unrest. He wants nothing more than to keep us in the state of doubting, fixed on fixing our flesh instead of fixed on trusting his grace. And so sweetly, what's so beautiful about all of this, see, he never changes how he deals with his people. It's always by his strength, by his arm. Once again, if it never changes and it's always grace, what did you come to him when the Lord dealt with your heart to take him as Savior? What did you fix about yourself to get saved? You didn't. You trusted his grace. You trusted the word. The word has told you. It wasn't history that even told me, even though history does tell you. A man named Jesus came and died on a cross. Yep. Proclaimed that he was the Son of God. Had a bunch of these crazy little guys called disciples. Every single one of them, historically, you know what? They denied him. That cross time, they all denied him. They were all fearful and all of that. But without fail, every one of those disciples, they all died a martyr. They all eventually faced a death that was so horrible. And one of the greatest testimonies then, even naturally speaking, would all of those disciples that were so fearful at the time of Jesus' death, why would they all face such horrible deaths and never deny his name if it was a lie? Naturally speaking, I can put that one together. And I'm a little slow that way, but I can get that one. But I thank the Lord, you know what? I didn't need history to tell me these things. I believe the word of God.
And I believe that grace. And the Lord says so sweetly many different ways, but he said, the Father gave his Son freely. For God so loved the world. That's why he did it. He loved. It was, again, a love thing. That's it. That's God. He set it up that way. You could disagree, but why? That would really be crazy. Yeah. He loved the world. And he loved the world so much he gave his Son, his only begotten Son. And so sweetly, all he said was, and whosoever believeth in him, believeth in him. Not work for him, not do for him, but believe in him. Believe in that grace. We'll have that eternal, everlasting life. How beautiful. So simple. And I thank God that this sweet sister, she said, you know, I thought in my sincerity, with all my heart, wanting to please him and please others. But yet, she said, it was still self. Even in all of that, you would say goodness, that encouragement, it was still self. And so sweetly, she said, abiding and walking in the Spirit has absolutely nothing to do with self. It's all him. Now get this. This is where, I'll tell you what, I believe my feet left the ground for periods of time when she wrote these words. She said, even the choices and responsibilities are his. I continue to learn that it's in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And the perfect will of God is actually a place that is given and not worked for. Isn't that marvelous? You got to hear that again. The perfect will of God is actually a place that is given and not worked for, but by faith in his love, we just sit right down next to the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that is, it's so sweet how God will do these things. That is, choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's exactly that. Now, people would say, now wait a second. That sounds like effort to me. That sounds like something so contrary. And the one thing I will tell you, brothers and sisters, that's why we need to search these things out. God took me right to it. A very interesting thought with such a flood of joy. He said, son, I want you to go search that out again. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. You look at that word choose, you know what it means? Love. And you know what the word love means? It means worship. And you know what the word serve means? The word serve means worship. So if you really look and truly receive what he's saying there, what ye love this day, ye will worship. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I love that. I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. And praise God, how perfect that is. And how thankful, because we draw nigh in fervent love to kiss what we love. And as I said earlier, see, love is beyond a choice. Love is beyond a decision. It's beyond it. And you know that. Love naturally submits and surrenders because it's in love. Love doesn't have to be forced. It can't be. Or it wouldn't be love. Love is the most free, beautiful encouragement. That's why that love is of his grace. Right? That's why his truth is in love. That's why that Spirit that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart, it comes in spirit and in truth. And it's marvelous, brothers and sisters. But it's beyond a choice. And it's always been a love thing with Jesus. It's always been. And I think one of the most profound times that you just say that highlight this in such a precious way is when Jesus was encouraging Peter. He didn't come to Peter and say, Peter, will you work for me? He didn't come to him and say, Peter, well, I want you to do this for me. What he asked Peter is, he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? See, love, brothers and sisters, is the man after God's own heart. Love. See, David knew that God loved him. David was the man after God's own heart because David was a lover. He loved that love. And love Love is the man after God's own heart. In love with God's heart, which is what? Full of grace and truth. In love with God's heart, which is full of grace and truth, that fullness in us wins the crown. That's the true worshiper. I love and am in love with he that is full of grace and truth. I'm in love with that grace. And in love with that grace, I'm in love with all truth. Because he's given me all grace to love all this truth. And it's my first love. It's it. There isn't anything else. By the grace of God. I thank the Lord. I know he loves me like that. Once again, that's why the Apostle Paul says that we would know the love of Christ. You'll never enter into this kind of a relationship. It'll never be this intimate. You'll be, in a sense, a child, knowing that the Father loves me, knowing that there was such great love that he gave his Son to die for me. I've grown in that love and know that he gave his Son to marry me. Amen. I know that immensity of his love. That by the grace of God, this love, hallelujah, as you grow up into the knowledge of it, you grow up into a knowledge, not just of a child or a teenager, but you grow up into this fully mature one. You understand what he's after in this love. You understand what he wants. Amen. And you know what he wants? He wants somebody to share with him. As the word that was given to Paul, what was given to Paul completes or fulfills the word of God. Who is the word of God? It's Jesus. There's a completeness that has to happen. It's so evident within the word of God. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He's God. You could say, well, he could just take the throne as God and let's just, you know, no, it cannot do that. Because there's the perfect will of God and it is his word. And his word says that it's not complete. He will not take his throne until he has his bride. Until he has his wife. He won't take the fullness of that glory because she is the fullness of that glory for him. Just like he's the fullness of glory for us. It has to work the same. They're glorified together. Where did all the glory come from? From him. Tell you what, she descends having the glory of God and he lights it all up. They're both. Praise you, Jesus. See, this is what we're entering into so freely and fully that was given to us. But what's so tremendous about the Lord is with the Lord, it's always by faith. It's just by faith, believing that. And I thank God how sweetly he just sticks that right into Romans. He says, it's of faith that it might be of grace or by grace. See, it's by faith that it might be of grace. And I love that. See, and I'll go a little bit further. It's always by faith that it may be of this grace that's in love with us. See, I have to have the faith in grace that's in love with me. It's just in love with me. Once again, it's that love thing. Love thing forgets everything. See, it's like God, he just forgot everything. And he's so in love, it's you. But he's still God and everything's all under control. But he's in love with you. Think about how he talks about you. Think about the Song of Solomon, how he describes himself. He's like a kid with you. I mean, like a teenage kid. He says he sees you in the lattice. You know, he's looking at you this way. I mean, he has that kind of a heart. He's like a young roe. He's in love like that. He's not like, God, oh, I love you. No, I mean, he's passionate. It's an amazing thing. He talks about her. He describes her. That's the beauty of the truth as you take that. You become in and are built into this stunning, beautiful woman for him. He gives us that in type and shadow. That's something that we can understand. What it is, it's a oneness beyond. But it's still that same passion and that desire. And that's how he sees you. And that's how he sees you as we receive this word today, this wonderful word of his grace. He's stunned. And he talks about it always. And he tells you, I'm jealous over you. And that's okay. I've had such defiant idiots. Well, I can't believe I wouldn't serve a jealous God. I said, I don't. Jealous God's in love with me. And I love that jealous God's in love with me. You know what I'm saying? That's apple of his eye stuff. I know who loves me. I thank him all the time. And I don't tell him I don't know why anymore. Because I tell him, he tells me why he does. Because I chose you in my son before the world began. And I love you. And it's just going to be that way. It's just going to be that way. Now, God told Noah, he said, you know what, son? I want you to go build a boat. And I don't want you to go build it by the dock. I want you to go build it over there in the ocean. I want you to go build it in the middle of the desert. And he says, because I'm going to flood the earth, which you've never seen, and I'm going to do it with rain. And by the way, you don't even know what that is. Now think of this. I do. As when the Lord speaks with us, you know how it gets so precise and makes your heart just tremble and laugh. Laugh, 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 and love it. But Noah's natural mind couldn't understand that. There's no way. Could not understand that. No way. But you know one thing that Noah understood? He understood the grace of God. And the grace of God gave Noah the boat, and the grace of God brought the rain. And Noah just believed all the grace. And what happened? He got lifted out. Amen? Over and over. Whether it was Moses, think about Moses. He told Moses, you know what, Moses? You're going to deliver my people right out of Egypt. Greatest army in the world. But I'm not going to give you an army. Matter of fact, Moses, see that rod right there in your hand? Go get him, son. There you go. Go get him. Now, once again, in Moses' mind, there could have been no comprehension, it's just too far-fetched. Too far-fetched. But grace brought the plagues. Grace parted the sea. Moses believed in all the grace. And what happened to Moses? He got lifted out. And so here we are. Amen. Now, what has God told us? God has told us that he's going to have a wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he's told us that she's going to be raptured out and meet him in the air. Natural mind here. Come on now. Oh, that's too far-fetched. Way too far-fetched. But God and his grace brought Paul's gospel. And God's grace had our precious Lord and Savior send us the Holy Ghost to reveal it. And in that, we believe in all that grace. And if the Lord does it the same all the time, what happens? We get lifted out. God don't work any other way. He's really, really beautifully simple. Amen? Call those things which be not as though they were. It worked for him every single time. Every single time. Yes, it did. Now, his pattern never changes. It's always going to be his strength. And where is his strength? It's in the Word. The Word is his strength. Let it be your strength. And that Word is what? It's always unmerited love, favor, and grace. You didn't deserve a bit of it. It's too far-fetched. But it's the Word. It's all his power. And you know what? It's all yours. It's all ours. Hallelujah. He's given it all to us. And it'll power us in every step of our lives. By the grace of God, you just believe. Brother Hill, talk about it. All the power's hooked up. All the stations are over there with Excel. All of it's ready to go. You walk in here. Well, wait a second. It's dark. I can't see nothing. There's a switch right over on that wall. All I got to do is just flip it on. Flip it on. Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to work. All that power's there. That switch works. Everything's perfectly fine. I could still sit in this darkness, even though it's all there. And you'd say, that's just so silly. It's stupid. Whatever you want to say, just flip the switch. Go over there and believe it's there. Amen.
Amen.
Most of us get in a car every day. Do you get in that car with that key and go, oh, I hope it works? I stick that key in there and hit. And this doesn't have a power station that fails. And this doesn't have whatever, my car don't work. This always works. But it works effectually and in all power in what? In them that believe. Just believe. There was David, that sweet little boy. Amen. Just a little guy. Son, you're going to be the greatest king of Israel. There was Paul, the chiefest sinner and the Christian killer. You're going to be the one that'll bring forth the message of the height of my glory, the bride for my son. And here you are. Here I am. This unseemly little life. This unseemly little life. Out of all these billions of souls, billions on this planet. But yet he tells us in here he saved you. And he called you with a holy calling. Not according to your works, but according to his purpose and his grace, which was given to you. Did you hear that? It was given to you in Christ before the world began. Are you going to walk over to the switch? Amen. Isn't it wonderful, brother? Now, it is that precise. And you are that exact to him. God's purpose and grace for you and for me, because of this power, to win him. It's truth. He chose us. Why? Because he loved us. It's always that way. And I thank God, because we had to deal with it just us two alone. And I'll tell you how he told me this. Get over yourself, son. Get over your drama. Get over you. I chose you for this. I chose you for this. We've all read the story of Gideon. Amen? Let's not let him wait. I'm telling you, I love it. I believe it. It's an inevitable conclusion. I chose you. I didn't choose somebody else. Do you know that? He didn't choose somebody else. He's speaking to you. I didn't choose somebody else. I chose you. I chose you. You're my desire. You're my choice. Now, we thank God, as he said to us here, they got not the land in possession by their own sword. They didn't get it by their own arm. That didn't save them. But by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. We just flip over here about 600-700 years. And here's what he gave us. A better thing. Philippians 1:6. Be confident. be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, that translates the most excellent thing, where? In you. Remember, it's you. Will perform it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, you know, brothers and sisters, we can be confident. Amen. He put this crown in my hand. Amen. Doesn't mean to be arrogant or cocky, not proud, but I'm confident in his love for me. He chose us before the foundation of the world in Christ. And he chose us in Christ holy and without blame. But then the finishing best before him. You were before him in love. Before the world began, he saw you in his Son, standing right there before him. Amen. And he was in love. Jesus. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Lord, it is just that. It's just that. Lord, so pure. So pure. And Lord, thank you. Not done. And I do give you all the praise for it. Not in eloquence, Lord God. Not in the things that man would throw the accolades at. But Lord, it's by your grace, your beautiful grace, your rugged grace, your grace that descends into things, Lord God, that men would throw their nose up at, that man would discard, that even Christian but yet self-righteous men would walk right on by. But not you, not you. That was the one that you saw and you could not help but be in love with since ages past. Lord, may that glory of mercy truly become us. May it just be that love of our life, Lord God, that it's just the beauty of your grace, your mercy that we praise you for, that saw us, Lord God, and yet loved us. And loved us in a love that would be a bride for you forever. And we thank you. Oh, we thank you. And Lord, may it again be today that we just see you. And that precious day, praise God, that you would perform it to, would be that day. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.